So this is Chuck again. We had to interrupt the previous Zoom session because we had some technical difficulties with my IP provider. And so I wanted to finish off the earlier discussion with Chapter 8 of Watchman Nee. We had got up to about page, starting at page 121. We had got up to about the beginning of page 128. And he's talking about the Holy Spirit and how you know you have the Holy Spirit and it's the outpouring of the Spirit. And where we left off was there was a question as to, you know, I just want to clear some things up. Well, we already have the Holy Spirit, so there's no need for a baptism of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, what does all that mean? So I want to clear up a couple of things before we move further into the chapter, because Nee has some really awesome perspectives here, straight out of the scripture, that probably corrects some difficulty in training or how we were trained in receiving the Holy Spirit. So one of the examples I used was when you have a plant and the plant is brand new, you know, you do step one, you bury the plant, steps one and two, you take a seed, you take a dead seed, step one, you put it in the ground, step two, you bury it, that's the burial of Christ from the cross. And then three, you get a new shoot or you get new growth or whatever, and that's that resurrected, the resurrection from that dead seed to that new plant life. When that plant life comes up, all right, you water it, but you don't give it a lot of water because it doesn't need a lot of water. You give it enough water to sustain its growth. As the plant starts to mature, it's going to need more water in order to survive. You take that natural example, and that's pretty much what we see is happening here when you start talking about this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Do you have the Holy Spirit upon regeneration? What I mean is when you first get saved. I believe you do according to the scriptures. When I look at nature, yes, you have that. How do you know that, Chuck? Well, it's clearly outlined when you look at the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. And what led them out of Egypt? I love this example. I use it all the time. There's a pillar of cloud and pillar of fire by night. That is representative, that's a representation of the Holy Spirit. So they had the Holy Spirit leading them and guiding them along with Moses out of Egypt. That's step one, two, and three, and it leads them past the Red Sea, which is their baptism. But in Exodus 19, on the day of Pentecost, they hit Mount Sinai. And there is a deeper revelation. They get into covenant relationship with God. And that's that day of Pentecost. And that's a deeper filling of the Holy Spirit. The disciples, Christ had already breathed on them to receive the Holy Spirit after they had experienced his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Steps 1, 2, and 3. But he then tells them, after he says, receive ye the Holy Spirit, when they had acknowledge that, then you come in and you see this deeper dwelling, refreshing. He says, wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit to come on you with power. All right. So this is where I just want to make sure we're clear. You have the Holy Spirit upon regeneration, but there's a need for a step four where there is a greater influence, there's a greater outpouring of the Holy Spirit in your life. And you've got to have that level four experience of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit before you can be effective in doing ministry to anybody else, all right, and dealing with as we prepare for the second coming of Christ. So I wanted to make sure that was clear because a couple of questions came up on that, the difference between having the Spirit and whether there's a deeper filling of the Spirit and kind of sort of what the baptism of the Spirit sort of means. The neat thing about Nee here is that he says, when God is glorified, the Spirit has already come down by promise. And so the thing that is so magnificent that kind of changes things around here, at least the way I was taught, was that I don't have to ask for the Holy Spirit. It's already available to me. I just need to believe in the scripture, and he gives us Romans chapter 8, and he gives us Acts chapter 2, verses 32 and 36. And in verse 33, he says, being therefore by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he hath poured forth this which ye see and hear. And so what Peter is saying in his sermon is, because Christ is glorified and sits at the right hand of the Father, because he's gone through step one, the cross, step two, the burial, and step three, the resurrection, and now he's glorified, step four, the promise of the Holy Spirit in abundance becomes available to us. Nee says that all we have to do is just believe these scriptures and walk by faith and present ourselves as already having this baptism of the Holy Spirit, or the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our life. It is already available to us. The problem in some of the teachings that I've had is that it was implied or told me sometimes that there was more that I needed to do in order to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That was the first flawed teaching, I think. So I felt like there was more that I needed to do. I needed to fast more. I needed to pray more. There was more that I needed to do in and of myself in order to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he says, that's not right. The second misconception, which threw me off as a young believer, was that the evidence of me, and the only evidence of me having the baptism of the Holy Spirit, was to be able to speak in tongues. So tongues was connected to the baptism of the Holy Spirit because historically what we see in Acts. And Nee is going, and we'll get deeper into this as we go a little further into in this chapter 8. And Nee is saying that's not necessarily the case. In fact, that is not the case. And so as we go forward into this chapter, he's going to show us that speaking in tongues is not the only evidence by far of someone having the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in their life. So if it makes it easier for you to understand and receive this, let's take the baptism out and let's say the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That might be easier for some people to understand. And that outpouring of the Holy Spirit is based upon your faith and knowing that Christ has already given you and done what he needed to do in order for you to have it. This is just merely you going out and claiming what belongs to you. And that's why this is a huge paradigm shift for some believers who thought they had to earn or do something extra in order to have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And all you needed to do was have faith. So I wanted to make sure we were clear on that. The technical difficulties are not going to stop us from pursuing the truth of this matter. And so if you're a believer and we've been talking about the feast steps and we've been talking about Watchman Nee, make sure you know how to apply these first four steps, because they're critical in your growth and your faithfulness and your relationship with Christ and with being able to draw others to the Lord so that they can have this resurrected life and have victory as well. You pick up the cross, you humble, you identify that you have a need for Christ. You can no longer do this on your own. Two, you change your mind, you repent, you change your mind about trying to work these things out on your own, and you bury that old person. Three, you take on the new life of Christ. You give him your old life, and he gives you new life. His life is now inside of you, and he's in charge, and he is the one who you're giving authority to. The Lord really becomes your shepherd at this point, and you have new hope and resurrection because you have a power inside of you that's going to allow you to be able to do those things that you were never able to do before in the old you. And then you have this greater outpouring, or the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on your life that guides you, that gives you the power to sustain you, that gives you the power and the wisdom and the discernment to know when I'm off track, when I need to go back and cycle back through the humility and to put down the old guy again and to make sure I'm operating with that new hope. It's the power and it's that watering that helps you to mature and make our Father proud. And I encourage you, if you have not made it to step 4, all you have to do is believe. God bless you.